Blog Talk Radio.
Weigh-In Sports Talk. Today is Sunday, September 9th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564. If you prefer not to talk, join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvina, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh-In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
All right. Thanks, Michelle, for the introduction. And like she said, today is Sunday, week one of NFL action, week two of college action. I'm joined tonight with Trey Patterson, my co-host. I'm sure he has a few I told you so's tonight, but we'll get to that in a few seconds or minutes. How are you doing, Trey?
Oh, man, doing well. You know, hey, for every time you get to say I told you so, you get to say the opposite of that, Tarvin. So football's that way, man. You never know.
Yeah, it was, you know, we thought week one was interesting. Week two was, the upsets have already started in college football and in the NFL as well. It's just been a crazy weekend. We went to buy a dog today, Trey. We went and looked at a dog, and believe it or not, my wife got bit by the mother of the puppies we were going to look at. So she's trying to heal up right now, and Auburn looked like garbage yesterday.
They really did, Carson. They really did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Arkansas got beat last night, fell out of the polls. I mean, there's just so many things we're going to discuss tonight, and RG3 looked like he was playing at Baylor today. And he was in the NFL in New Orleans. So, Trey, I mean, of all the things we're going to talk about tonight, let's start with that game, RG3. You said it. You drafted him in your fantasy, just like I did Cam last year. And man, how did he do that today against the Saints on the road?
Yeah, I mean, RG3 really looked impressive, Tarvin. There's no doubt about it. I watched most of the game. I got the NFL Sunday ticket, so every time it seemed like he had the ball, they were on him. Tarvin, I liked his decision-making. I liked his playmaking ability. He scrambled when he needed to. He stayed in the pocket when it was most advantageous. And he actually was really accurate, Tarvin. I mean, I was the guy who, you know, everyone knows, I wasn't high on this guy. I drafted him in a fantasy league just because, you know, everybody else seemed to think he was, be a big player. But, looking at him on Sunday or today, Tarvin, this kid looked good. I mean, I know we'll talk about the five rookies and their performances, but RG3 was the only one who won of the five, Tarvin. I mean, he actually put up, I think, the second highest yard total in the history of the NFL for a rookie. I think Cam Newton was one, but he's the only one who put up the certain numbers he did because he didn't have any interceptions and he had two touchdowns. So he looked real sharp, Tarvin, on the road. And, I don't know if anybody gave him much chance to win that game, Tarvin. I mean, did you think they had any shot going into that?
Well, I thought they had a chance to keep it close, and the Saints, with all the distractions in the offseason and the defensive issues, I thought, you know, it could be a high-scoring game. But Washington has a defense as well that rose to the challenge. But the thing that impressed me about RG3 was the zero interception. I mean, that's unheard of. You throw that many times that accurately, though. I mean, his completion percentage was high. I mean, God, just to beat Drew Brees, I mean, a future Hall of Famer in your first game on the road, that's unheard of, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, what he did, to put it in perspective, Tarvin, I mean, it really is very unique for a rookie quarterback to come in and do that. Definitely not something that we've really seen before. And we saw a great performance from Cam Newton last year, but we didn't see this kind of overall team game where he seemed to also be just in control of the offense the whole game. Even in the fourth quarter when
Drew Brees had the ball, Tarvin. They showed him on the sidelines, and this guy just looked ready to go again. Very cool, collected. So I was very impressed with him in week one.
Trey, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I had somebody on hold I was talking to real quick, but what were you saying?
No, I mean, the way he presented himself, especially in the fourth quarter when Drew Brees, Tarvin, was breathing down his neck, you know, they were really driving, and every time he got the ball, it looked like he knew exactly the position of the game that he was supposed to be in, and he really protected the football, Tarvin, and that's something that's really difficult when you have a scrambling-type quarterback, and he didn't seem to be at all phased. He made great decisions even under pressure, Tarvin, because they tried to pressure him.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm very low on this guy, and I'm from the school too. Let's see him do it against a defense. But the Saints, you know, they're a decent team on defense. They're not great, but I want to see how he does after this first game. He could be great. We don't know yet. I mean, like Cam Newton, everybody said, well, it was one game, you know, and he kept doing it. Today he threw for 300 yards. He got the loss, but RG3 is victorious today. And another shocker today, almost a shocker, Michael Vick, week one out against the Cleveland Browns earlier today, 17-16, I believe. I think he turned the ball over four times, if I'm not mistaken, Trey. What do you think about his performance in week one? He got the win, but what are you thinking about Michael Vick for the rest of the season, maybe?
Well, he didn't look good at all, Tarvin. You know, four turnovers in the game. He looked careless, to be honest, at times in the fourth quarter. At the time, he threw a ball in the fourth quarter for interception, and I have no idea what he was thinking. There were three Browns just blanketing his receiver, and he threw it there anyway. So really poor decision-making, Carmen. And when he ran with the football, he had the ball out away from his body, which made it easy for the Browns to basically strip him or hit him, you know, knock that ball loose. The two things I took from that game, one, Tarvin, is Brandon Weeden looked like a rookie. He had four interceptions and no touchdowns. He looked terrible. And the other thing, Tarvin, is the Browns are probably not the worst team in the NFL like everybody thought they were, because their defense looked legit, Tarvin. I mean, they looked really good. And I think part of that we'll see if Vic bounces back next week. If it was, you know, maybe the Browns' defense is a little underrated, because they seemed to have the scheme to really confuse Michael Vick in that game. He seemed to throw the ball exactly where they wanted him to a lot.
Yeah, and the Eagles, man, I'm not sold on them. As long as Michael Vick's the quarterback in Philadelphia, they will never be anything more than a wild card team. I can promise you that, because he's never going to stay healthy long enough. He's not consistent enough. Philadelphia would be better off if they had kept their quarterback last time, instead of getting this whole Michael Vick thing, Trey. The Eagles in this division, the Cowboys now, after just 1 week, look like they flexed their muscle in week one and you know, take a one-game lead on the Giants. So I know it's week one, but there's a lot of interesting games going on out there. Andrew Luck's first game today, he lost by 20 on the road to Chicago. That was expected, Trey. I don't think he had a terrible day, but he didn't have a great day. What other game out there stuck out to you today?
Well, actually, Tarvin, I do want to touch on what Andrew Luck did. If you look at what Andrew Luck did, he had 309 yards passing, a touchdown and three interceptions, and he took a loss. By the way, Tarvin, what Peyton Manning did in 1998, his first game, 304 yards passing, three interceptions, a touchdown, and a loss. I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning, Tarvin, but his numbers from the first game are almost identical to what Peyton Manning did. So he made some really good decisions in that game. Obviously, he made some rookie mistakes where he threw into coverages and didn't hit receivers in their breaks and that kind of stuff. That's all going to get better. I mean, what I saw from Andrew Luck in that game, Tarvin, was something like, this guy is a really good quarterback, and he's going to really improve.
Yeah, Andrew Luck's going to be great one day. Right now, he's not. A surprising game to me today, Trey. San Francisco thumped Green Bay today. I mean, they went into Lambeau, just dominated that game from the start to the end. What does that mean for the Green Bay? Are they going to be, are they done really? Last year they had a great record, and towards the end they started playing very soft and lost that playoff game and just started off the way they ended. What do you see for Green Bay right now? What concerns do you have?
Well, I think two things. One, Tarvin, I think San Francisco, a lot of people said, well, what they did last year, they weren't going to do again this year. It looks like they are a very, very, very solid team. They're great on defense. They played fantastic scheming defense against Aaron Rodgers, who's probably the best quarterback in the game. They made him throw into places, especially in the fourth quarter where their linebacker got an interception over the middle. They made him really doubt himself on the field, and it seemed like, you know, Rodgers was Rodgers at some times, Tarvin. But what I took away from that game is that the Packers' offense isn't where it was last year. Their defense has still got some room to improve, which we all thought that they would have. You know, they were terrible last year at times. But the San Francisco is a very, very, very talented team, Tarvin, and they're going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And I don't think you can say what they did last year was a fluke. I think what they did last year looks like they're going to do right into this year.
Tell you what, the difference between San Francisco, you know, the reason they're good, in my opinion, is Jim Harbaugh as a coach. I mean, this guy is the Nick Saban of college. He's a Nick Saban of the NFL right now. He just wins everywhere he goes. He's building this San Francisco team tough. They have more confidence than any time I've ever seen them play. And Alex Smith has turned into what people thought he would initially, a decent quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, he really controls the ball well, which if you have the offense that they have, they like to pound the ball and make the quarterback, you know, have good decisions, that's the kind of quarterback that Harbaugh likes. I mean, if everyone knocked Alex Smith for not making the big plays, well, in the offense that he has, I mean, they don't want him to throw the ball around all over the field 40 times. They don't want him to throw the ball into tight coverage and possibly get interceptions. They're not looking for that guy. They're looking for a signal caller who can control the football game and keep the ball without turning the ball over. And that's exactly what Alex Smith is doing, and he looks really good doing it, Tarvin.
Yep, and if you want to call in tonight, anyone, 646-716-5564. And the chat room's getting busy. Bruce Cowart's in the chat room. Brandon Solomon, Corey Bird, Jason Humphrey, Justin Hawk, Corey Johnson, Jason Atwell. It'll keep growing as the show goes on, especially when the college football talk hits. So if you have any questions, give us a call. Follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Send your question there tonight if you need to. But the NFL, Falcons look good today. Julio Jones went off as we thought he would, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
First game as a rookie on the road. I think you picked the Falcons, though. Even though you're a Chiefs fan, you picked the Falcons to win big, and that's exactly what they did. But in the NFL, Trey, right quick, Peyton Manning making his debut as a Denver Bronco tonight, playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh looks like they're driving about to score if they haven't already. What are the chances of Peyton Manning getting out of here tonight with a win, Trey?
Well, you know, I think Peyton Manning has a good shot to get out here out of this game tonight. You know, if it wasn't for a turnover already in this game by McGahee, this may be, the Denver may have already been driving this game. Obviously, I think this game is not going to be a 0-0 game. This is not going to be like a 3-0 game at the end of this game. I think you're sure going to see a lot of second-half adjustments tonight. Peyton Manning is an architect on the field, and he's going to start picking apart that defense. Roethlisberger looked great in the opening, though, I got to tell you, Tarvin. But, the question is going to be is if the Broncos change up their scheme and start attacking that run, because I'm not sure that Redmond and Dwyer are going to be really a lot for the defense to handle. I think Von Miller and those guys are going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is first and goal right now. 11 minutes left until halftime. The running game for Pittsburgh looking good right now. Like you said, that turnover is a difference right now in the field position in the game. So we'll be following that game for the rest of the show. Anything big happens, we will definitely let you know. And anything in the NFL, Trey, you want to talk about? Some big performers today before we move on?
Yeah, I think we got to talk about what the Jets did. That was one of our games that you and I picked going into the week, Tarvin. And who knew that all along what they were actually doing is actually setting people up with a great pro-style offense, because the Wildcat and Tim Tebow weren't a factor, Tarvin. But Mark Sanchez running the pro-style offense, dropping back in the pocket, having receivers running clean routes and hitting them in stride. They just destroyed the Buffalo Bills, who were a lot of people, including me, thought highly of them coming into this year, and they just got destroyed today by the Jets. Tarvin, what did you think about, you know, Mark Sanchez's performance?
Well, it looked like Mark Sanchez got the memo that his job was in jeopardy. Maybe he took it personal that they went out and hired Tim Tebow, for the quarterback competition. But it's exactly what I thought. We talked about it they were sandbagging in a way, not showing anything. In the preseason, they looked like the Giants did week one. Looked like they didn't care, couldn't block, couldn't move the ball. All of a sudden, Mark Sanchez comes out looking like he did at USC. So the Jets look for real, man. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, everybody was calling the upset. I believe both of us picked the Jets in this game, Trey. Did you pick the Jets?
Yeah, excuse me. No, I think I picked the Bills in this game, Tarvin.
All right. 1-0 me right now, but I think you're going to catch up with me very fast. So, yeah, you're right, though. The Jets, probably the performance of the day. I have to give the player of the day award to RG3 going on the road, winning that game. Cam Newton on the road, Trey, you know, didn't look good. He threw for 300 yards. They lost the game, and that's really all that matters at this point, whether you win or lose. So I'm very disappointed that Cam lost that game on the road today to Tampa Bay of all teams. Rick Schiano, I think that's his name, the Rutgers coach coaching at Tampa Bay, got his first win as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, so, Tampa Bay, I was surprised that you know, we talked about going into the season that, you know, Cam Newton, people were actually game planning for him more in the second half. I mean, what we saw was a Greg Schiano coach defense that had an entire offseason to plan for Cam Newton, and they really actually schemed him well, Tarvin.
Yeah, they did. And you know, we talked, you talked about that, I think, you know, that second year of Cam Newton. You know, second year in the league, defenses now have more time to prepare for him and scheme against him. And all of these defensive coordinators are great. So Cam Newton's got his work cut out for him. I think he'll adjust and do well this year. I don't know about Carolina. I hope they can win that division. But you just never know. The Saints, it's a very good sign to see the Saints lose today if you're a Carolina Panthers fan. But one thing that concerns me is the Falcons look good today on the road. So NFL week one, we have two Monday night games tomorrow night. Oakland and San Diego, and who's the other game?
The other game is the Cincinnati-Baltimore game, Tarvin.
Yeah, that's a big game. So I'm going to pick Baltimore in that one and Oakland. Baltimore and Oakland are my two. What about you?
I'm going to go against you, Tarvin, just for the sake of it. I'm going to go San Diego, and I'm going to go with a Cincinnati on the road.
Wow. Well, the talk's heating up in the chat room right now about Gene Chizik and Nick Saban and some other things. So we're going to move to college football, Trey, unless you have something else. Anybody has anything else in the NFL?
No, I think it's, you know, we can move on to our college football team picks, Tarvin. We got a lot right and a lot wrong, Tarvin.
Well, this early in the season, until you see people play and see what they have, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to pick these games right. But let's start off with something close to my heart here. Auburn loses at Mississippi State. Both of us picked Auburn to bounce back. You know, the biggest improvement from week one to week two, Trey. It just got ugly in that second half. Auburn's offense for four quarters looked worse than probably I've ever seen Auburn's offense look. The defense in the second half resorted back to the defense of old. The coaches, I'm very disappointed in Auburn the way they played this week, but I think I'm more disappointed in the coaching staff than I am the players, Trey.
Well, I mean, there was problems with your coaching for sure. I mean, sometimes you kind of wondered why you were running a certain play and, you know, didn't seem to be set up very well to the previous plays. But, you know, the other thing is Kyle Frazier played very poorly. Tarvin, I mean, he had five turnovers at the end of the game.
Five turnovers, yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about Auburn going into the season, and, you know, I predicted that Auburn's quarterback, Kyle Frazier, was going to have moments like that. But I'll be honest, Tarvin, I really thought after the Clemson game that we were going to see a progression from him. After seeing some of the defensive schemes that he saw and, you know, being under that kind of pressure, I thought going on the road to Mississippi State, he'd be a little bit more composed. But at times, Tarvin, he looked like he didn't know what he wanted to do with the football. He was just trying to be out there in a pickup game, and he could throw the ball around as he wanted to. And that just doesn't work against, you know, a good defense, which in Mississippi State was a very solid defense, Tarvin. And the other thing is, you know, the linebacking tackling didn't improve, Tarvin.
Well, and that's something I think can improve being fundamental, you know. Tackling's fundamental, and that's something you can improve from week to week. But you're right, nothing improved. But one thing I said while I was watching the game, Trey, I was wondering if they were going to take Kyle Frazier out. And I was aggravated at first, you know, wondering how long are they going to let him play. But I guess what I finally came to peace with is they were going to let him go through this terrible time and dig his way out of it and see how he handled it to help him grow in the future. But third down and seven, you know, I remember one play in particular, a big down. He runs a draw play. The offensive coordinator calls the draw. If you do not have enough faith in your quarterback to throw the ball down the field on third and seven, or at least put the ball up in the air, he does not need to be in the game. And we have a caller in the queue right now. Zach is on the line, and we have, I believe, Corey's on hold as well. We're going to bring Zach on. Zach, you're on Way In Sports. How's it going now? All right, we're going to move on to Corey.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
How you doing, Corey?
Well, not very good. I'm actually sick with a cold and still a little sick in my stomach from yesterday.
Well, yeah, that sickness won't go away until probably never.
Yeah, I think you're right. And so I was going to get an opinion from you and Trey. I mean, I heard somebody say, put it this way yesterday, that it's time for Auburn to push the panic button. So I actually happen to agree. I mean, I know they say cooler heads prevail and not to get too carried away over a couple of games, but just to see how terrible the team looked yesterday. I mean, seriously, what has the coaching staff been working on all this time? Because looks like the players haven't practiced together. They don't know any plays. They really don't know what they're doing out there most of the time. So,
Corey, I think what I see on that is a team, you know, most teams play a cupcake early, a team that they can beat at least one of the first two games, if not the first one. Auburn hasn't had that luxury. You know, they've gone into two games underdogs, and they've been exposed. What I see from Auburn yesterday is a team without any confidence and leadership. And that's the thing that's going to keep staying the same. The play is going to stay the same until somebody steps up and takes ownership and is a leader on that team. And I'm not saying Gene Chizik. I'm saying somebody on the field. And looking at it, you know, you change your offense and your defense. You've been recruiting for a spread offense for three, four years, and now all of a sudden you're trying to run an NFL offense with a running back my size. You can't do that. You can't physically run between the tackles with a 185-pound running back or 170-pound, whatever he is. And it's not a good fit right now. Until Auburn can run the football, just like Alabama, LSU, and some other successful teams, they're going to continue to struggle passing the ball because nobody respects their run right now, and nobody, the safeties, do not respect Kyle Frazier. So everything is pushed inside. Everything's up close. Kyle Frazier has no space to operate. The receivers have no chance to get open right now. So, Trey, what do you think can happen to make them better right now?
You know, Carbon, one of the things that I saw before the game started was it was Gene Chizik's record at Auburn. And he was 14-0 with Cam Newton, I think, and the stat was 16-12 without him. I may be off a little bit on the without Cam Newton stat. So one of the questions that I think that Auburn has to ask themselves is, you know, with the recruiting that you guys have had, is this the team that you expect to have with Gene Chizik? I mean, I think that you're going to struggle with the young team you have, but there's still a lot of talent on that field, and at times it doesn't seem the talent is very utilized in the best way right now. I don't know if that's because you lost your offensive and defensive coordinator. And one of the questions I have, Tarvin, is, you know, I think Van Gorder, your defensive coordinator, just isn't really, I guess, putting the right scheme on at the right time. It seems like he's always got his guys off guard on defense. Like, the defense never seemed to be ready for whatever, you know, whatever Mississippi State was doing. They didn't seem ready for it. And their tackling fundamentals just weren't there. So I'm wondering, Carmen, is this a head coaching problem? Is this a new defensive coordinator problem? Or is this a player problem?
I think it's a little bit of everything. And I'm not ready to fire Gene Chizik, trust me. I mean, this guy has won a national championship, and I don't care if it was with Cam or not. I mean, he's a great recruiter. He's great in crisis, but he still has to show that he can win a big game. And I'm talking about now. You know, his first year, same thing. This year is kind of the same thing that we're losing. Now we're going to see what Gene Chizik is made of. You know, I think he can do it. I think eventually he can get it done, but how long will Auburn be patient? How long will the fans be patient? How long will Jay Jacobs be patient to let him do that? He's recruited three top 10 classes, Corey, in a row. The talent is there, but it was for Gus Malzahn, his offense. It's a lot different than the pro style. Right now, if you're a coach at Auburn, you have to utilize your speed, your talent, whatever it is. Ontario McCaleb, every time he touches the ball, something happens when he can get in space. You saw it yesterday. You saw it the first game. So you're not going to get much from McCaleb trying to run in between the tackles, Corey.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and I agree with Trey about it. He was talking about the talent Auburn had. And, I mean, yeah, let's just look at the facts that Auburn probably had as much talent, if not more, than Clemson on the field. Even though, I mean, Clemson was a more experienced team altogether. So that's why Clemson was favored over Auburn, and we can say that's why they beat Auburn. But you look at Mississippi State, Auburn probably had twice as much talent as them on the field. And even with the new quarterbacks, new linemen, altogether, Auburn is actually a pretty experienced team now because they play a lot of young guys last year. So I hate to agree with some of those Alabama fans, but they can't just keep using youth and inexperience as an excuse. I mean, Kyle Frazier was the National High School Player of the Year 2 years ago. I mean, it's hard to believe a guy that was that dominant in high school can look that bad in college. He obviously hasn't been developed and hasn't been coached very well. So,
you look at this and you see that they're young in the wrong places. Kyle Frazier, he's young because all he did last year was take some snaps and run stuff. The offensive line, tell me if I'm wrong, they're playing three freshmen right now. Am I right? I might be wrong.
Yeah, you're correct about that.
So three true freshmen or redshirt freshmen is an offensive line. It's just like it just takes some time in those positions. You can be young in the secondary. You can be young at running back. You can be young at receiver. But when you're young in the trenches, I think that's what the problem's going to be. Kyle Frazier is going to have to develop confidence in his offensive line. The offensive line is going to have to develop trust in him as well. So it's going to be some growing pains this year, I think. If you're an Auburn fan, I think later in the year you could possibly pull some upset. But right now, in 2 weeks, Auburn plays LSU. But next week, Louisiana Monroe comes in that just beat Arkansas. So you think Auburn's going to get a break, you know. Okay, we get to play Louisiana Monroe. They have Tim Tebow on their team, it looks like, in Louisiana Monroe. And it's a scary thing. Trey, could Auburn start 0-3?
You know, the Louisiana Monroe thing, I don't know that a team like that can beat more than one team in the SEC. you know, I mean, those are the once-in-a-season or once-in-every-decade type of game for those teams. I mean, you got to also remember, I mean, Arkansas's quarterback went out in that game. And, yeah, Arkansas still should have won the game. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like it was Louisiana Monroe best versus Arkansas's best. So I think that while Arkansas, I mean, why Auburn may struggle in the initial against Louisiana Monroe, that I think in the second half it will be less. So I can't see Louisiana Monroe beating another SEC team. If not, maybe they get an invitation next year. I don't know.
Yeah, put them in the SEC West. They're the only ones that can beat some of these teams. But talking about that, Arkansas losing last night. Well, I'll go back to Auburn real quick. It's going to be some growing pains for Auburn this year. The schedule doesn't get easier. We have a few cupcakes. If Auburn can get bowl eligible this year, I'll be surprised right now. I'm not ready to give up on my team. I love Auburn, and I'll always support them. But let's be real, Corey. What we saw yesterday, it has to get better quick, or this season can turn very bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just what I'm so disappointed in. I never expected them to be BCS contenders or anything this year. But I did expect them to improve upon last year. And it looks like they have gone – far, far downhill from where they were last year. And so it's like they did it in a hurry, too. They basically just dropped off a cliff. So you're talking about a pulling upsets. I mean, I bleed orange and blue. I pull for Auburn no matter who they're playing or when they're playing. But, I mean, I think actually it will be an upset at this point if Auburn wins next week against ULM. I mean, I hope they do, but, I mean, seriously, that's what it looks like at this point. I've never seen such a disorganized performance on offense as I saw yesterday.
Yeah, it looks bad, and it makes me wonder, you know, I know one thing, it can't get much worse than – we can't play much worse than we did yesterday. We might lose some more games, but we will never play as bad as we did yesterday. I can say that honestly. It might not get much better, but I think it will. I think just be patient with Auburn, have realistic expectations this year. We quickly got our expectations lowered very quick. So if Auburn makes a bowl game this year, right now it would be a very good season looking at it starting 0-2, looking at what's coming up. But, Corey, man, thanks for the call. Thank you for the call. Stay on and listen. Stay in the chat room and help us out, man.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, see you, man. And, Trey, that leads me to a game that happened last night. Louisiana Monroe goes into Arkansas and beats the number 8 ranked team. Arkansas fell out of the polls. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, I don't know that that's fair, Tarvin. I mean, one, I mean, yeah, it's a shocking loss. It happens every year to a big team, and it's happened. We've had multiple upsets, actually, in college football this year. It may not have happened to a ranked team, but you have a lot of FCS schools, Tarvin, which are actually beating FBS schools, which has to be an upset anytime it happens. But, you know, Louisiana Monroe, they beat an Arkansas team. The fact is Arkansas lost their quarterback. Should Arkansas – you know, they had Niles Davis. You know, where was he in that game? Where was the offense? Where was a lot of things in that game for Arkansas? So yeah, it's concerning for the pollster if you're looking at, you know, how good Arkansas may be. But I mean, I think Arkansas, if the quarterback comes back, I mean, what have you heard about his injury, Tarvin?
I've heard he's going to be okay. Brandon Solomon said, let's remember Arkansas fell out of the AP poll, not the coaches poll. Brandon, I can tell you the coaches poll sucks, man. Nobody cares about the coaches poll, especially me. I think it's the worst poll out there, and it should be banned immediately. So I'm saying Arkansas is not ranked. So I heard his injury is not too severe, but here's the deal. If Bobby Petrino was the coach at Arkansas, this would not have happened. Even though he got hurt, Bobby Petrino would have called the game enough to win that game. And I think the pollsters also, Trey, would have respected Arkansas more if Petrino was still there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there's some credibility coaching-wise that Bobby Petrino has. And I saw a bunch of Arkansas fan posts after the game, which I thought was a little interesting. They basically, a lot of it was very sarcastic, but I thought truthful. They were asking for Bobby Petrino and his mistress to come back and giving them both raises. So, you know, I mean, I think that if Arkansas loses another game and they're not supposed to lose, you're going to see a lot of people clamoring to get him back in that team.
Mm-hmm. I heard Bobby Petrino interviewed at Auburn today. More to follow later. The jet was sent, Trey. The jet was sent to get Bobby Petrino. Do you believe that? Trey, are you still there, man? I think we lost Trey. Can everybody in the chat room hear me right now? Say yes if you can hear me. Okay, everybody can still hear me. Trey, I guess Trey is disconnected. He'll call back in a moment. But, you know, the poll is all about respect. You know, they look at the polls and they look at the team, the coach, and everything. I, on the other hand, look at this game, and I see Arkansas, you know, was not prepared for any kind of backup plan in case Wilson went out, Trey. And I would have probably dropped him to probably number 20 to see if Wilson was healthy next week for the Alabama game.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Tarvin. I mean, the backup, Allen, played terrible. I mean, but you got to expect a backup at a big SEC university is going to be better than Allen played. I mean, 6 of 20, only 85 yards. The guy lost 20 yards in behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, he was just awful. And that's what the pollsters were concerned about, is if Wilson doesn't play, it's going to get bad quickly because Alabama may just destroy them.
Yeah, it's not a good thing when you're going to be playing Alabama when they're at top strength, and they played lethargic this weekend as well. We're going to go to the phone line, area code 541. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this and where are you from?
Hey, Ryan, my name's Jason from Eugene.
Hey, Jason, what's going on, man?
Hey, pretty good. I'll get to my Ducks later. Watching the Arkansas-Louisiana Memorial game last night, watched the last part of the fourth in overtime, their heads were down. Arkansas had no confidence, no leadership, and the Moreau's sideline, they felt confident. There was no confidence that they were going to win that game last night. And that's just pathetic from an SEC team. I know they lost Wilson, but their second stringer should have beat that team. It was just pathetic.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, even if you lose your quarterback, you're an SEC West team, not just an SEC team. You're an SEC West team at home with a lead playing Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. And I know Louisiana Monroe, they upset Alabama. That was their last big win. They were in Tuscaloosa when they won that game, and now they go into Arkansas. Now they have a chance to go into Auburn and do it, so we'll see. But you're right. Arkansas played like they didn't want to be there anymore, and that they had no faith once Wilson was gone. And that's a big problem because everybody's saying on the boards right now it's a broken collarbone for Wilson.
Well, the season's going to get a whole lot longer if it is.
Yeah, well, hey, man. Hey, we're going to move on, man. Thanks for the call. Keep listening on the chat room and call back next time, bud.
All right, bud. We'll do.
All right, thanks. All right, Trey, and let's look at the Florida State game. You know, it was canceled last night during the game.
Yeah.
I think Florida State was up 50 points. Would they have covered if the game would have continued, Trey?
Well, one of the interesting things that if you were watching it at all or any of the posts was that at halftime, the coaches got together, the two programs did, and they were basically each team was going to basically run out the clock. I mean, so you were going to have run-the-clock game from both sides in the second half. So that should tell you that Florida State had no interest in actually beating the spread and embarrassing Savannah State any worse than it was already going to be. So I think you'd have had probably the last people on the roster for Florida State playing and Savannah State trying to run the clock out as well. I don't know if it will get to 70, Tarvin. It may have gotten close, though.
Well, here's a question. I don't know, and people out there tell me, if you bet on Florida State last night and gave 70 points and that game was canceled, do you lose the bet or is it canceled? Because I think you lose, Trey. I think if you took Florida State and gave 70 points last night, you're not a happy camper, especially with the game being canceled. Trey, are you having problems, bud? I think Trey is having problems. So, Trey, get a phone that works, call back in, and join us. So, let's go over the rankings real quick. The AP poll, Alabama is number one with 48 first-place votes. USC is number two. LSU, three. Oregon, four. Oklahoma, five. Out of those five teams, I think LSU should move up to number two. And I think Oklahoma still should not be in this top five, Trey.
Yeah, and sorry, Carmen, I'm having BlackBerry issues tonight, so I apologize for everybody for that.
That's okay.
But, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma still number five, Carmen. I mean, I know you've been a big opponent of that. What do you think of after week two, people still putting them that high?
I think it's terrible. I think it's the fact that people voted them preseason and their pride won't allow them to drop them down. When I saw a team like Michigan State, now Michigan State looks good right now, and they're the only Big Ten team out there, them and Ohio State, that looks good. So
Brandon doesn't like the fact that I don't like the coach's poll on the chat room, but I really cannot stand the coach's poll, Brandon. Nothing against you, sir. I know you're an Alabama fan, and I know it's hard on you, but, hey, you know, I know the coach's poll at Alabama were 42 first-place votes. The AP have them were 48. So, Brandon, you need to go to the AP poll now, man. The coach's poll is outdated. But, yeah, Oklahoma should have been dropped. I think Florida State, Georgia last night in a huge game on the road at Missouri, Trey. You know, the first half looked bad for Georgia, and then they just stepped up with that defense. What do you think about that game?
Well, I mean, I kind of saw that coming, Tarvin. I think Missouri was built up, and Missouri, a spread offense team, they're not very deep on offense. You kind of thought that might, at least I thought that would happen in the second half, that Georgia would pull away. You know, Georgia had an experienced quarterback who wasn't going to be afraid if they were tight at halftime. So, to me, Tarvin, it was kind of what I expected to see out of Georgia. I mean, you know, Georgia's going to come in and have all this preseason talk. They better be able to play and play well against the Missouri team on the road, because if they didn't play well at Missouri on the road, I mean, that wouldn't have looked very good for the rest of the season for them.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, the big games in the SEC yesterday, Florida went on the road, you know, struggled early with momentum. Texas A&M looked good, but is this how Texas A&M is going to be, Trey, carried over from the Big 12? They look great in the first half, and they can't score in the second half. That's just the tendency of Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the what Texas A&M does the last 2 years. They can't seem to close out a fourth-quarter lead. They've blown halftime leads in about 10 games over the past couple of years, and, you know, and that's not going to prove them well in the SEC. I still think – I thought that Texas A&M's Manziel's quarterback, the freshman quarterback, was good. I think he's going to be very, very good in the future in the SEC, Tarvin, but this is not a team who's ready to win a lot of games in an SEC right now. But I do think that they have a huge bargaining chip they have for recruiting, and that they're the only team in Texas who plays in the SEC. I think that's going to start pulling recruits away from Texas and Oklahoma. And I think Texas A&M in 3 years, Tarvin, could be something to talk about in the SEC, but not this year.
Yeah, not this year. And this is probably the best you'll see Texas A&M and Missouri look, because they're going to start getting into this schedule. They're going to start playing these teams that hit you in the mouth. And I don't care if it's Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, whoever. You're going to start getting hit every week. And I wonder how many injuries are going to start piling up. You watched Florida yesterday, man, their whole team went off on a card, it looked like. So, Texas A&M, Trey, are they going to get to 6 wins?
You know, it's going to be tough. You know, anytime you have a freshman quarterback, it's going to be tough. I think they'll get to 6, Tarvin. But, I mean, if their quarterback gets hurt, Tarvin, I don't know if they get to 4. I mean, it's going to be tough for them, because I don't know who's after that freshman.
Yeah. And Missouri last night, their quarterback, he looked good at times, but he just plays too relaxed to me. And Franklin, he just taking his time, not a care in the world. I think that's going to get him hurt before long. But, you know, you picked Florida and Georgia. I picked A&M and Missouri, and I really thought the crowd being a factor, and I really didn't think Florida and Georgia were that great. I thought both of them would pull wins off at home, but I was wrong. And I changed my mind to you, remember, yesterday or Friday before the games. And I told you I like Georgia and Florida. But it's too late. I already said it on the air, so I'm wrong. So.
Yeah.
The Tulane guy yesterday, I can't remember his name. I don't know if you saw, he got hurt. He broke his neck, and he had some spinal injuries, I think. They had to do a tracheotomy on the field to revive him. And a vicious blow to his head. Did you get to see that?
I didn't see the actual hit, but I heard all about it, and you know, obviously a very, very scary hit is what I understood it to be, but I didn't actually see it, Tarvin.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're going to go over some games in a minute, but look, West Virginia didn't play this weekend. Who in the top 25? Let's do AP right now. Who in the AP top 25 do you see that is overrated, and then give me a team that's underrated to you?
I think West Virginia's got to be underrated. I mean, I think they were, what, 11th in one of the polls, and I think that's way underrated for them. You know, Smith, I think overrated, I think, well, we're starting to see some of the overrated teams now. I mean, so that's going to be a kind of a crapshoot. But I, you know, Georgia could be that team who's overrated, Carter. I mean, you know, while they did pull away in the second half against Missouri, I think that their struggles in the first half aren't going to do them very well against some of the bigger SEC opponents. And they happen to make it. You know, Tennessee's looking a lot better this year. I mean, I don't. You know, so we'll see from Georgia real soon, because it seems like you know, if they're as rated as high as they should be, then they should have no problem with Tennessee, even though Tennessee is sort of resurgent right now.
Well, I'm looking at Michigan, Trey. They're ranked 17th, and they're ahead of Florida 2-0, Louisville 2-0, Notre Dame 2-0, Stanford, UCLA, Tennessee, Arizona, BYU. Those are all 2-0 teams. Michigan got destroyed against Alabama at a neutral site, and they looked terrible against Air Force. Luckily, won the game. Michigan is that team, besides Oklahoma, of course, that I think is very overrated and at 17. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible, Tarvin. We'll see if Bernard Robinson didn't look much better against Air Force, although he did have two pretty large runs. But, you know, the other team that you mentioned there, Tarvin, which I actually wanted to talk about, and we'll talk about the Pac-12 and how impressive they were and also unimpressive this weekend, depending on which game you're talking about. But, I mean, I think that Stanford's a little bit blown up after watching them play and struggle as much as they have. I think they're ranked as high as they are because they have the USC game coming up. I think that's going to be just a blowout, and I don't think Stanford's going to be ranked after that game. So I think Stanford probably shouldn't even be in the poll.
Stanford won last night.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, they're 2-0 right now. You're talking about the first game they played, but how impressed were you with UCLA beating a Nebraska team and really had to lead the entire game?
Yeah, I mean, I was just a surprise, Carter. I picked Nebraska to win that game easily. And, you know, the Pac-12 actually showed us a little bit something, and UCLA played very well in that game. They controlled. I thought that, you know, Nebraska, their strength is running, that, you know, UCLA had given up a ton of yards to Rice on the ground. It just didn't materialize for Nebraska at all, and really UCLA kept Nebraska out of getting any rhythm whatsoever. You know, Tarvin, it was one of several marquee wins for the old Pac-12. Tarvin, you know, we had Oregon State upsetting Wisconsin. That was a big, you know, Wisconsin coming there. Monty Ball, his 21-game touchdown streak is broken by Oregon State, and Oregon State wins a 10-7, very low-scoring game. That was another big game for the old Pac-12 out there, Tarvin. Not only that, but Oklahoma State went out to Arizona and got beat as well. So looks like the Pac-12 may be a little better than I thought they were, Tarvin.
Yeah, and man, I mean, Wisconsin going up to Oregon State and losing. What was it? I mean, they only scored one touchdown in an entire game against probably one of the worst defenses in the country. And the week before, they looked terrible, and everybody thought that, hey, it was the first game, you know, they're just trying to get loosened up, they're not going to play hard, but they got exposed. And Corey in the chat room says Wisconsin is worse than Auburn, and I have to agree with him on that. I have to agree that, but Washington going down to LSU, Baton Rouge, they got exposed and spanked and sent right back up to Washington. So it was a mixture, but hey, you know, the thing we're losing here, how big is the Big Ten? How bad is the Big Ten right now, Trey? Just in general, I mean, they have nobody really that stands out. Maybe Michigan State, Ohio State can't play for it. So what do you think about them?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State has a lot better quarterback play before they make a BCS-type jump to where they're a legitimate BCS team. And Ohio State obviously can't play in it. Now, I know Ohio State had their problems this past weekend, but you know, Braxton Miller looked really good in that game as well. So, you know, Ohio State, they're not really playing for this year, but they're looking real, real good. Even though they struggled a little bit this weekend, that score was a little bit closer than I think it really was. But, you know, Michigan State, other than them, Tarvin, I don't see a team in that conference at all who should concern anybody playing them out of conference.
Yeah, I mean, and the Big Ten is bad. I would probably rate them below Conference USA right now, honestly, if we had to talk about it. Penn State loses to Virginia.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I did nail another upset, Tarvin. I picked Iowa State to beat the Big Ten Iowa, and that happened as well.
Yeah, it was just the worst day in the world. The last 2 weeks for the Big Ten have been terrible, Trey. Penn State losing at home to Ohio, Michigan getting skullduggered in Dallas. I mean, it was just one thing after the other. And this week, I mean, if you're the Big Ten commissioner, I mean, what are you going to do to make this conference one of the elite conferences? Because they're not right now. It's the Pac-12, the Pac-2, and then it's the SEC right now. That's just the facts. I'll say the ACC is getting there as well.
Well, I think the Big 12 still was impressive as well this weekend, Tarvin. I mean, Kansas State just put – I mean, watching Klein play against Miami, I mean, that kid is good. I mean, he's real good. So I was really impressed with the way Kansas State just destroyed Miami this weekend as well for the Big 12. So I think they're not so bad as a conference either.
Yeah, Brandon Solomon says that Notre Dame is definitely a top 10 team, and then he says sarcasm at the end of it. Yeah, that's another team that's horrible. And Justin Hawk just reminded me, Northwestern beat Vanderbilt. But you know, Vanderbilt's not considered SEC, really, are they, Trey? I'm kidding.
It was a big win
for the Big Ten, no doubt. That was a big win because Vanderbilt's up and coming. They're playing a lot better. Northwestern should have beaten Syracuse the other day. They just had a bad game. And Northwestern is one of those teams that could possibly make some noise in the Big Ten.
And, you know, Vanderbilt should have beaten South Carolina. I think just like Justin Hawk said that as well on the message board. So you got to think that, I mean, had Vanderbilt beaten South Carolina, how big would Northwestern beating them as well as they did played? I mean, obviously Vanderbilt is 0-2, but they gave South Carolina all they could handle, you know, and South Carolina looked really good with a backup this weekend. So, you know, got to think about that as well. I mean, Northwestern was impressive.
Well, bad news for Auburn this year, they have to go to Vanderbilt. So that's not good. That's not good. And one team we're going to talk about real quick, a big matchup coming up next week. Tennessee is hosting Florida. Tennessee 2-0, Florida 2-0. Tennessee is a 2.5-point early favorite. The line opened at Tennessee favored 2.5 in Knoxville, Trey. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, that's where Collins game day is going now since the Arkansas loss. So we'll see. I'm not ready to pick the game just yet, Tarvin, but I think that it's going to be a very close game and one that Tennessee could actually win.
Yeah, Tennessee played Georgia State yesterday. I didn't get to watch it, but they won handily. You know, coming off, if you're Tennessee right now, you're very confident, Trey. You're 2-0, a place you haven't been in a while, and a favorite over the Florida Gators. So Tennessee wins this game, Trey, just say they're 3-0. I mean, they could make some serious noise in the SEC East. So I'm not sold on Georgia just yet. South Carolina has quarterback issues. Missouri got exposed. So Tennessee, Trey, is it a far-fetched statement to say they could possibly win the East this year?
I think the East is so wide open right now, Tarvin. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, but in the beginning of the year, I mean, there was almost every single SEC East team picked to win the conference. And I think we're seeing, or at least the East, I think we're seeing that play out now, Tarvin, is the East is kind of hard to predict because, you know, these teams, we're not really sure what they're made of yet. They seem to play very poorly at times and very good at times. Honestly, Tennessee so far has probably been the most consistent team that I've seen. So, but, you know, they haven't really played anybody yet to really flex those muscles. I mean, NC State looked pretty weak at times when they played them. But, you know, we'll see because Florida, you know, coming off that game out there in Texas A&M, we'll see if they come home and how Tennessee handles them.
Yeah. Another game I want to talk about that someone in the chat room, Corey, said Kansas State is underrated. Did you see the beatdown Kansas State put on Miami? I wasn't shocked that Kansas State won, Trey, but I was very surprised how they won.
Yeah. Well, it's like I was saying earlier, Carmen. I mean, that Klein kid for Kansas State looks legit. There's really no other way to put it. I mean, that team is a lot better. I think they are underrated, and I think that, you know, who knows? I mean, if they could be a contender for the Big 12.
Yep. I mean, that's not saying much right now. Oklahoma's still down. West Virginia, it could come down between West Virginia and Kansas State in this. South Carolina won with ease yesterday at home over East Carolina without their quarterback. And what a difference a week makes, Trey, to be able to prepare your backup quarterback. South Carolina looked, you know, above average yesterday with the quarterback. Have you heard how long Connor Shaw is going to be out?
No, I kind of thought that maybe he would have played if it had been a bigger opponent. So, you know, I had heard that he may have been able to play in that game. But, you know, Steve Spurrier is one of those guys who kind of plays his cards to his chest. So we'll see, you know, how big Connor Shaw's injury is and whether he's on the field next week.
All right. To have some fun real quick, Trey, give me your top five, and let's start. Me and you both will go up. We'll start with our top five, and we'll start at number five, Trey.
My top five is still probably going to be the exact same as last week, and I still got Florida State at five.
Okay. Florida State at five, and I'm going to put Florida State at five as well. Okay, number four.
Number four, I have Oregon.
Okay. At number four, I have Southern Cal. All right, number three.
This is where I start to change a little bit, Tarvin. I actually have dropping down. I got USC at three right now.
Okay. I have Oregon at three. But I want to drop Oregon down a little bit. But the thing is, their defense is not playing that well, but they're getting out to these big, big leads, and they're just letting off the gas. So it's going to be hard to tell how good Oregon is until they play somebody that's good. So Brian Burgess has Oregon at four. Corey Johnson, USC, at four. At three, Brian Burgess has Southern Cal. So who do you have at number two?
Number two, I got LSU right now, Tarvin.
I do as well, LSU, and I'm sure you have Alabama at one.
I do. Yep, Alabama's my number one right now.
You know, once you get past that top five, maybe six, I say West Virginia, there's a big drop-off in talent teams right now, it looks like. Just looking at it, Clemson's outside the top 10, Michigan State's on the border. I just don't see anybody outside the top probably seven or eight that could even possibly win a championship this year. Do you?
Well, you know, I think there's still a chance that the SEC East surprises us. I mean, obviously the national championship has been sort of won by the West recently. But I think there's still a shot at, if, you know, you never know, with one of those teams, whether it's Georgia or South Carolina, you know, coming out and actually making some noise for the national championship. I mean, I just think that, you know, those teams still have a lot to prove, Tarvin, but they still could make some noise down the road.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much college football left, but are you thinking of an exciting year as last year or this year, or are you thinking it's just going to be, this is it, really? The top teams are going to play, and when they lose, they drop? And do you think Alabama and LSU are definitely going to be there at the end?
Well, I think that one of Alabama or LSU is going to be there at the end, obviously. You're not going to have the Oregon USC problem in the SEC, so I think one of those teams is going to have probably a clear path. But then again, you know what I'm saying, Tarvin, is if Georgia runs the table and they meet an undefeated Alabama team and, you know, pull the upset in the SEC championship game, then they're going to be sitting there, you know, against maybe an Oregon team in the national championship game, and, you know, I kind of like the SEC in that matchup. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. You never know when you can see two SEC teams in it again. I mean, it could happen just like it did last year. It's not likely, but to look how good LSU looks right now with Mettenberger, look how good Alabama looks right now. I mean, would it shock you, Trey, if it happened again this year?
It wouldn't, Carmen.
That's good, because it could happen, man. I mean, these two teams are head and shoulders above the rest. Give me another game you want to talk about.
Well, Carmen, you know, we had a couple of big games in you know, the Pac-12 that we kind of barely mentioned. What do you think about the Oklahoma State upset?
Well, I picked that yesterday. I was talking to someone on the Couch Potato Show, and I told them I really feel Arizona would win that game. Oklahoma State lost too much. So it didn't shock me, but the fact they lost by 21 points, it did shock me a little bit. What about you?
I'll be honest, I didn't think much of Arizona going into that game, but, you know, that's a West Coast game, so I got to catch some of it, Tarvin, and I was actually really impressed. I mean, you know, Arizona is playing a much different style of game than they played in the past couple of years, and, you know, they really seemed to take Oklahoma to the sort of the task early on in that game, and they sort of kept control the whole game and never got sort of off Oklahoma State's throat in that game. So I was impressed, very impressed with, you know, some of the Pac-12, very impressed with them this past weekend, and then kind of like the Utah State upset over Utah, and you're like, well, you know, and then Colorado loses again to a, you know, really terrible team. So the Pac-12 is so, it's such a weird conference right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely it is. And Ohio State, you know, won by 15 over Central Florida yesterday. Just kind of recap, Clemson beat Ball State 52-27. Kansas lost to Rice 25-24. Terrible. North Carolina, this surprised me, Trey. North Carolina losing to Wake Forest 28-27. I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, North Carolina is one of those teams who came in, and I actually thought, based on the recruiting they've had recently and some of the big impact players that they're supposed to have, that North Carolina was actually going to be a sleeper team in the ACC this year. They didn't certainly look that way against Wake Forest. I mean, they looked. I mean, obviously Wake Forest played a good game, but you know, I was surprised at how poorly North Carolina played at times.
Definitely, and a team that surprised me yesterday, a game, Southern Cal won 42-29 over Syracuse, and that's why I don't have them as high in my poll as everyone else. The only reason I have them that high is because I know they don't play anybody really the rest of the year besides Oregon, so it's going to be hard to remove them down. So what do you see when you look at USC? Does that defense concern you?
I think, you know, I wasn't real concerned until I watched that Syracuse game, Harmon. And you know, watching Syracuse receivers kind of run routes that seem to confuse some of the corners for USC, I mean, they seem to be out of place at times. I was just very unimpressed with their defensive secondary. So, you know, we'll see if that could be a very big issue, especially against Oregon.
Yeah, playing Stanford next weekend in Stanford. Any kind of, you give a Stanford any kind of shot to win that game?
I don't, Carmen. I mean, I know Stanford played well against Duke this past weekend, and that was a game I thought Duke might actually snake bite Stanford, but, you know, they look real good against Duke, but I just don't think Stanford has anywhere near the talent to really play with USC. And I think if USC were to struggle targeting in that game, then I would drop USC even further because, I mean, you know, they shouldn't be struggling against Stanford.
Yeah, Stanford's not good. I mean, they played Duke all the way on the West Coast last night and beat them good. But a team in the Pac-12 that kind of impressed me last night, I watched late, was Arizona State. They beat Illinois 45-14, and those guys look good. Arizona State, new coach, you know, what's his name, Todd Graham? Is that the guy's name? Maybe he's from Pittsburgh. He was at Tulsa, went to Pittsburgh for a year and came back. They look good, Trey. Arizona State could be one of those teams that give these USC and Oregon teams some fits this year.
Yeah, I mean, what it looks like, Tarvin, is USC isn't going to have, and yeah, everybody's saying, well, the USC and Oregon game, that's all that really matters in the Pac-12, which is kind of sad if you really think about the Pac-12, those are the only two teams that matter. So it's kind of nice for those of us who want to see, you know, that these teams play better competition. So if Arizona or Arizona State or Stanford, or whoever can actually step up and be a much better team and actually challenge USC, because USC doesn't have a lot of depth in defensively, Tarvin. So if some of these teams can put together good game plans, I mean, you may see them USC get knocked off. And if USC loses to a team like that, I don't put them in the national championship contention at all. They got to run the table.
No. Oh, they have to run the table and beat Oregon twice to get it. I mean, their schedule is very weak. And in order to play in that game, I think you're going to have to earn it. And, you know, losing a team like Arizona State would just do you in. It would be like, you know, Arkansas. Whether Arkansas ran the table and won every game, it would be hard to get them back in that game because of, you know, losing to Louisiana Monroe. It would be the same thing with USC. And so before we go, you know, we're going to talk still. I don't want to let my football listeners go, but there's some big news in baseball, Trey. I don't know if you want to talk about Strasburg or not, but how interesting is it that they went ahead and shut him down before it was scheduled?
Well, I mean, the fact that the manager said he was concerned about his mental health or mental state after that game, you know, a little bit disconcerting, but not – Strasburg had, I think, the fourth highest ERA on the team. So, you know, they have some other guys who are having really good years, including Gio Gonzalez. And, you know, if you follow baseball, you know, Gio Gonzalez was a super high prospect in the athletics organization before he went over to the Nationals. And so, you know, if you're your Nationals fan, I mean, you want Strasburg in there because, I mean, that's the frontline pitcher that you want to go twice. But now the guy is Gio Gonzalez, and we're really going to see – you know, if he's a guy who can step up in the postseason and be a number one starter.
Well, hey, before we move, Justin Hawk wants to know if we'll talk about Taylor Martinez. Did you get a chance to watch him play last night?
I did.
Tell me about what you thought, your assessment of him after that game.
I don't even know how this guy's a quarterback, to be honest. And I was here, and my wife's a Nebraska fan. And we had over one of my better friends, his fiance played college tennis at Nebraska, so they were obviously watching the Nebraska game. So we were watching it, and I kept watching him throw, and I could not believe how terrible mechanically he was, and how long it took him to even get to the throwing position. And then Tarvin, his accuracy was—I mean, it was division F, it was FCS type stuff. I mean, this kid. You know, I know he's worked on his mechanics, but he is just awful. I can't believe that Nebraska doesn't have anybody else who can play the quarterback position because this kid, I was shocked at how poor mechanically he was.
And there's people out there that think Seed should, you know, before that should be maybe in the Heisman running or conversation.
Well, they all live in Nebraska. I'll put it that way.
And I'm wondering where Nathan Walters is tonight. Big Nebraska fan. They're asking that on the chat room. I thought he would definitely get on to discuss how Nebraska got beat by UCLA. You know, Blair might have been telling us the truth. UCLA's loaded with talent, man.
maybe so. But I'll tell you, just what I was sitting here and I wasn't trying to, you know, obviously my wife was having a tough time watching Nebraska lose. But every time Taylor Martinez dropped back, you know, his footwork was off, and then it's just throwing motion, and then his decision making. Like, why are you throwing into, you know, triple coverage? Like, you know, you missed the guy in the flat who was open, and I just kept shouting at this kid on the TV, and for a team I don't even care about, Tarvin, because I was just so angry at this poor play. I mean, watching a big time college program, I just couldn't. I mean, he was so frustrating to watch, Tarvin. And I can imagine for Nebraska. They have to be feeling the frustration of Taylor Martinez that he came in with all this hype into college. He was supposed to be the next great running quarterback and Tommy Frazier type guy. And he is just, he is not a tenth of any of his expectations.
Trey, I don't want to hear anything about frustrating watching a team play. man, this is very frustrating. You know, I thought I would get to, you know, do the radio show. Started up this year and, you know, talk good about Auburn this year, but I don't know if it's going to happen, Trey.
Yeah, well, yeah, at least he's young. I mean, the thing about Nebraska's quarterback is he's a senior, so at least you have youth to fall back on.
And let's talk about Nebraska's coach. You know, everybody was so big on him, you know, like how great he is. What do you think about Bo Pelini? How good is he as a head coach? Is he just a defensive coordinator in your mind?
I think he's the defensive coordinator. He doesn't seem to get the team offensively at all. The fact that Tarvin, I was so disappointed in what I saw in Nebraska's quarterback that I doubted how a coaching staff could actually have him starting. So that's how much I think about Bo Pelini.
Wow. Yeah, that's saying a lot, man. I mean, who's their backup? You have to be recruiting somebody better than what they're producing, showing out there every Saturday. But Nebraska, you're in trouble. And the Big Ten, you're in trouble. But talk about Penn State before we go back to baseball. them losing yesterday, Penn State losing to Virginia, how heartbreaking has it had to be for those kids at Penn State?
Well, Tarvin, that game was real hard to watch. Not just because, you know, of everything that's going on with Penn State, but because, I mean, watching that kicker miss field goal after field goal after field goal and extra point, I mean, it was just that you kind of, I mean, I was definitely not rooting for Penn State because, you know, Virginia's an ACC team, but it just hurt at the end of the game when it was lining up for a field goal, and I was like, I just don't want him to miss again. Like, you have to feel for this kid because, you know, this is a guy who is only playing because the starting kicker transferred to Texas. And then you hear this kid is and has a chance to do something for Penn State to get their first win, you know, past all these sanctions. And, you know, actually what would have been their first win since 1997 if you include the sanctions. But and he's choking so bad that it was tough to watch, Tarvin.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But hey, let's talk some baseball, man. It's September. I know it's football season, but baseball season's starting to pick up a little bit. Do you mind if we talk a minute about baseball?
Yeah, let's do it.
All the fans out there, please stay with us and learn some baseball, talk some baseball with us. We have to give baseball its due at least 10 minutes before we go, okay? All right. Strasburg got shut down. They are, what, 5.5 games up in the East over the Braves. What are the Braves' chances, Trey, to come back and win this division now with no ace, with no, you know, losing your number one pitcher? What's their chance?
I don't think the Braves are going to catch the Nationals, Tarvin, because the Nationals do have a very, very good team. I mean, it's not as if Strasburg was their only player. You know, like I said, Gio Gonzalez, he has a chance to win, I think, 18 or 19 games if he wins out. You know, you have some other pitchers who have very, very – Detweiler has a super low ERA, had a better ERA than Strasburg. So, you know, the point is that the Nationals are a very good team, and they're actually healthy right now. You know, you have Adam LaRoche playing an outstanding first base for them, and, you know, Wirth's back, Morton's back, Zimmerman's healthy. So this is a team that's actually very, very dangerous, Tarvin. I don't see the Braves catching them. What do you think?
I just think Nationals are very good this year. They're not just Steven Strasburg. I mean, the Gio Gonzalez, I mean, they're hitting. I mean, they look like a World Series contender, man. They look like a team that could easily get into that World Series. So, no, I don't think the Braves will catch them. But how far will they make it in the playoffs when they get without Strasburg? You know how intense those games are. And you need some kind of experience or at least some kind of dominant pitcher in those kind of series against these teams. So first round, do they make it past?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing. We'll have to see what the matchups are. I mean, that'll be the key component is who they get in the first round, Harvin, because, I mean, without Strasburg there to take down somebody's number one, I mean, say the Dodgers get in, and if the Dodgers, I mean, you know, I'd rather have Clayton Kershaw go for me than I would Gio Gonzalez. So, I mean, you know, that's going to be their biggest hurdle to cross. Is, you know, once they get in the postseason, how are they going to match up with some of these, you know, number one starters?
Well, let's talk about the best, the most competitive division right now with three teams just killing each other for that first place. You have the Yankees and the AL East in first place, up one game over Baltimore. Tampa Bay is only two games out, man. What are you seeing in this division? How exciting is this?
Well, this is turning out to be an awesome, awesome finish. I mean, the one thing I will say, Tarvin, is if you follow us on Twitter, I've been tweeting about the schedules for these three teams and some of the other teams out in the West Coast as well. And it's going to come down to who they're playing. And the Yankees have a very favorable last 10 games. I mean, they play mostly non-contenders their last 10 games, where if you look at the Orioles and the Rays, they have very, very tough schedules against a lot of contenders, Tarvin, and they're playing a much tougher schedule. So the road ahead for the Rays and the Orioles is much tougher than the Yankees. Of course, the Yankees are dealing with a lot of injuries and aging veterans. So, I mean, who knows how this comes out. I will tell you, Tarvin, the loss of Nick Markakis for the Orioles is huge. They are a winning ball club with him. And without him, I think they're like 14-18 with him out this year. So Nick Markakis is a huge loss for the Orioles, and it could be the loss that actually changes their season and actually has the Orioles looking out, because they are a losing ball club when Nick Markakis isn't in the lineup.
That's a very good point, but, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Tampa might win this division, man. I'm going to pick Tampa Bay to come back and win. These guys are exciting this time of year, it seems like, and the Yankees, too old, they're too injured. I just don't think they have it right now, and like you said, Markakis out for Baltimore. I'm going to go ahead and pick Tampa Bay. What about you?
Well, because of the schedule, and, you know, I'd love to be a homer and say the Rays win this division, but I think because of the schedule down the stretch, Carvin, the Yankees are going to be able to put up with a two-game, a three-game cushion going into the final week. I think that's going to be enough, even with all of their injury problems, even with their terrible starting pitching. They're going to be able to put enough together to beat the Minnesotas of the world, two out of three, in series. And that's going to be the difference with them, I think, winning this division, is the fact that they have a very favorable schedule, and they're not going to be playing teams that they're going to be really that competitive.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the AL Central. Chicago up two games on Detroit right now, Trey. It seems like it's just been here forever. It seems like Detroit's just sitting at two games, and are they ever going to catch the Sox, man?
Well, yeah, I picked them to catch them, so I keep waiting for my prediction to happen, Tarvin. So I'm still going to say it happens, but, you know, the White Sox are kind of frustrating because they had a chance to kind of run away with this division. I mean, here the Tigers are playing the Rays and a tougher opponent, you know, and you have Chris Sale and the White Sox losing the Royals, and the Royals are playing really good baseball right now. But the point is like, the White Sox are playing folks they should beat, and they're not actually running away with it. So it's still a very, very close, tight race.
Yeah.
So because the Tigers keep hanging around, I just like Verlander and Max Scherzer down the stretch, and I think that, you know, Miguel Cabrera could win the AL MVP if he has a big last month of the season. So I think the Tigers and Mickey get it done, Tarvin.
Okay. I think Detroit's going to come back and win this division. We'll see. They've lost the last three games. I mean, you lose three games in a row, it just seems like they're not heading in the right direction. But I'm going to stay with them because I picked them all season. AL West, Texas, four games up on Oakland, six games up on Anaheim. I just don't see anybody catching Texas right now, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is playing at such a high level. But, you know, one of the interesting things, Tarn, is the Angels are super hot right now. And the Athletics,
9 out of 10.
They've won a lot. And the Athletics are playing a very – but the Athletics and Angels have very, very tough schedules as well. But they actually play each other a lot on the stretch. And they play the Rangers, I think the Angels or the – if I'm getting them confused. Either the Angels or Athletics have, like, six games against the Rangers the rest of the way. So – that's going to be the determinative factor in this division, Tarvin, is the head-to-head games in the West down the stretch.
Okay. And the Central, NL Central, Cincinnati, that's their division. It's over. St. Louis, can they make a wild card, Trey?
You know, well, I'll say this in the wild card. And Pittsburgh, you didn't ask who I said them, but they're going to be out of it. They're playing atrocious baseball now. They seem to have lost. I mean, great, they're going to have a winning record this year, but they're not going to make the playoffs. I think the Cardinals are, they have a really good shot, Tarvin, and I think they actually do get into the postseason this year.
Okay, and you know as well as I do, if they're in, they're dangerous, man. It just seems like they know how to win. So NL West, the Dodgers, with all that money now, all the players, they got 4.5 games behind San Francisco. I don't see the Dodgers catching the Giants, Trey, do you?
Well, you know, what's disturbing about the Dodgers is, you know, Clayton Kershaw was pushed to start today because he had some inflammation in his hip. And, you know, they say it's minor, he's going to start on Tuesday. But when your ace is having minor, even missing a start at all, that's the kind of thing that you don't want to see this time of the year because you need your ace to take the bump and dominate. So, you know, I also wonder about the chemistry factor. I mean, you get Josh Beckett, you know, and Adrian Gonzalez, Nick Punto, and Carl Crawford from basically a cancerous team in Boston. And, you know, I don't know if they were the problem in Boston or part of the problem, but they certainly haven't played that well. I mean, the only person who's really done really well for the Dodgers is Hanley Ramirez, who's been a gangbuster for them. So I don't know if there's a chemistry problem under Don Mattingly now because he got all these superstars, and it's kind of the same problem the Red Sox are having. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with you, Tarvin. I think the Dodgers can make the postseason, and I actually had them my National League champion. But at this point in the season, I'm having a very tough time seeing them catch the Giants, Tarvin. They just don't seem to want to be able to get there.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's just hard to throw all those new players together and actually come beat a team like the Giants has played together all season with each other, and the pitching of the Giants. They're no joke, man. They can come out and beat you any night because of their pitching. They showed you that in the World Series a couple years ago. So I like the Giants, and the Giants are going to be very hard to beat in the postseason, Trey, in the National League.
Yeah, I think the Giants get in, Tarvin, but, you know, I disagree that they're going to make it very far. Matt Cain is certainly the kind of guy who can win a 1-0 game, but I just don't see this offense, even with Hunter Pence, even with the additions the Giants made, I just don't see this offense really scaring a lot of teams in the postseason. So, you know, I think they're going to have tough problems scoring over 4 runs in the postseason in a given game.
Right. Trey, you're not allowed to disagree with me tonight, man. You've done it too much in the past. We have to be on the same page tonight. And I have Quinn on hold. He's coming in to talk about his White Sox. Quinn, you there, bud?
Hello?
Hey, Quinn. What's up, man?
Oh, I didn't even know I was on. I thought I was off the queue.
No, you're on the queue. How's it going, man?
Going pretty good. I tried in calling earlier to talk about the Bears and Auburn. I can't believe how bad Auburn played yesterday.
It was not a good game, Quinn.
I thought Van Gorder was supposed to come in and change our defense around. Our defense still seems they still don't know how to play defense.
Yeah, and, man, it's just, you know, I look at games, Quinn, and I try to bring positive things out of that game, and I could find nothing positive that came out of that game. Did you?
No, I'm scared to play ULM now.
Definitely, after they beat Arkansas, I'm scared too. So, give us a realistic expectation of Auburn's record this year. What are you seeing?
I don't know. They may not even win 6 games this year. I honestly right now see 4-8 or 5-7.
Well, I mean, that would be a good season looking at what I saw the first 2 games. Or just the first game wasn't as bad. This last game was very discouraging. So, I mean, 6-6 would be a huge season.
It's pathetic. We have top 10 recruiting classes with talent, and none of them are producing. I mean, I think all we can blame are the coaches if they're not producing these guys.
Yeah, and look at the receiver thing frustrates me, Quinn, as well. I mean, it seems like the only receiver we have is Emory Blake, but we've been recruiting 4- and 5-star talent. You know, we have some very fast, good receivers we're supposed to, but it seems like the only person he throws the ball to is Lutz and Kirkin and Blake.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, congratulations to your Bears today. They had a big win. Notre Dame got a win yesterday. They pulled it out. But talk about the White Sox real quick. They're 2 games up on Detroit. Are they going to hold on and pull it out?
We'll see. I think this next series with Detroit will determine it all. This last series with Detroit is at home. If we can at least win 1 game from them, I think we might have it.
Yeah, the White Sox are playing some good baseball right now, and, you know, it's getting close to the fun time. I just wish baseball and football wasn't on at the same time in October.
Yeah, Kansas City has been a thorn in the White Sox side all season. So this series with them this past week, it wasn't too good.
So, Quinn, how's the cross country going, man? How are you doing running right now?
It's doing all right. My dad's gonna let me run Saturday, so I'm off my, like, academic suspension.
Okay. Well, good. You just keep up the good grades, man. It'll all come and work out. But, hey, man, thanks for the call tonight, and call back Wednesday night as we preview week 3.
Yeah, and preview the Bears-Packers game. That's going to be big because the Bears, they had a pretty good game. The first couple minutes of the game weren't too good, but once that offense got rolling, this offense is going to be pretty good this year. So that's something.
Cutler looked good, Trey.
Yeah.
The Bears are going to be good.
Yeah, and it's going to be a must win for the Packers, too, because they're lost to San Francisco. They can't go down 0-2 in this division and have the Bears go up 2-0 on them. So this is going to be a must win for the Pack.
Well, where is that game being played? Is it in Green Bay or Chicago? Okay.
Lambeau. Marshall, I think it's going to be – I think even with Woodson, if he plays on Marshall, Marshall's going to give him fits.
Yeah, and I have a bad feeling about the Bears that day. I think, like Trey said, this is a must-win for Green Bay, but even though if it's a must-win, doesn't mean it's necessarily going to happen. But I'm going to have to put Green Bay probably a 3-point favorite in that game.
Yeah, I think the Packers are going to come in pretty ticked off. I don't know. I think it'll be a very close game. I think it could actually be pretty high scoring because the Packers still don't have a defense. I mean, their defense is still very suspect.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, man, thanks for the call, buddy, and call in Wednesday night. I'd love to hear back from you.
Yep, I will.
All right. See you, man. Trey, any final thoughts before we go, buddy?
No, I just, one of the things that we talk about some fantasy football as well. I just want to get out a couple of tips as we go, Tarver. One is Fred Jackson left the Buffalo game. And, while you saw what Fred Jackson can do in that offense, it looks like C.J. Stiller is finally ready to step up. So if you have a waiver wire pickup, I recommend going out and getting C.J. Stiller tonight.
Okay, well, they can't do it tonight. They have to go do it Tuesday.
Yeah,
come on, Commissioner. You know better than that, Commissioner. What are you doing?
Well, it depends on what kind of league you're in. My Yahoo League, I went out and picked him up tonight. So,
right now in the third quarter, Pittsburgh is up 13-7 over Denver. It just seems like they've controlled this entire game. Denver looks like they're struggling getting off the field on third down. So, Ben Roethlisberger's throwing the ball downfield on third and long and getting it a lot. So, Denver has held up, though. They're only down 6 points, so a touchdown and an extra point can win this game for them. So that's going to be interesting to see. I think Pittsburgh will probably pull this one out, Trey.
Yeah, I still think that, we're in the third quarter now. We'll see. I mean, Peyton, he's a fourth quarter guy. Another thing is the Dodgers are down to 4-0 against the Giants. So it looks like Giants are going to pull another game ahead of them.
Wow. Well, how dumb do the Dodgers look, man? Spending all of that money, taking on people that the Red Sox were like, please take these idiots from my team, take them away, get rid of them. The Red Sox are going to be good in the next few years once they start spending this money the right way. But the Dodgers are in some deep trouble, man.
Yeah, I mean, this whole move doesn't work out, Tarvin. They're going to be in some trouble.
Yep. So, hello to Cuervo. He's on the chat room. He joined us late. But Brandon Solomon's final thought, AP poll doesn't matter, Tarvin, regardless of how the coaches poll is. And, Brandon, you're right. In the BCS formula right now, the coaches poll does matter and the AP doesn't. But I feel like I respect the AP poll more than the coaches. What do you think, Trey?
Well, the coaches have got problems. I mean, the coaching poll, there's been some bias that, has come out. And I think the problem with the coaching poll is also they don't actually watch any of the games because they're always doing their own game feed. By the way, Denver just scored. That's the kind of thing that the coaching poll, the problem is you have coaches who don't watch any of the games ranking teams that he hasn't watched at all.
Yeah. Well, Wednesday night, join us 9 p.m. Eastern, another big show for us. We'll be featured Wednesday night. Hopefully we'll be staff picked. We were not staff picked tonight, but you can't be staff picked every show, Trey.
Not every show, but we should be.
Exactly. That's what I think. But, yeah, Denver just ran a big touchdown run in. We're going to preview NFL Week 2 and College Week 3 Wednesday night. Should be a full two-hour show, so invite all your friends. Tell everybody come on in and join us. And until then, have a good week, everyone. Thank you so much for coming and listening to us tonight. Y'all have a great week.
See you, Tarvin.
See ya.